Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
So if this is your first time, I want to let you know, welcome home. Would you touch your neighbor right now? Tell them, welcome home. There's some good energy in here today. And so if this is your first time here or you've been here since the inception, I just want you to know, welcome home. This is a safe place to process who Jesus is. If you walked into this place for your first time, you're like, I hate everything you talk about. I don't want to be here. That's so okay, I promise. We're just on a faith journey as a family, a community, just following Jesus. So we got people all over the map, people that have been walking on the journey longer than others have. Some have just gotten started, and some haven't even started yet. And that's totally okay. We're here for you. We just want you to know you belong here. You do not have to believe to belong. We're just excited you're here. Can we get an amen for that? And that's the culture y'all create, so thank you so much. So what I'd like to talk about today, let's pray, but we've been talking about the art of living, right? That's our series we've been going through, and Jeremiah has been doing such a wonderful job teasing out a very kind of heady, logical, hard-to-understand chapter of the Bible. He just made it very simple. Can we give it up for Jeremiah for last weekend? Hey, you get an A-plus for creativity. This is good. So what I'm going to be doing today is, rather than us teasing out Romans, I'm gonna get there. So what we're going to be doing is, if you can go to your Bible, so Romans chapter 8, verse 33. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, it might be a little easier to follow because I'm kind of going all over the place. But where we're landing today is, who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And so that might seem kind of just like a sentence, not really power. And so I want to spend maybe the first 10 minutes just talking about just connecting as humanity, what we experience as humans, and then we'll get into the thick of it. So let's pray together. Let's pray for camp again. Let's pray for the 10 that got baptized about a month ago, just God would bless them. And then let's pray for the churches around the valley. Can you guys pray with me? So, Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. I just want to thank you so much for such a generous family here. I mean, raising $4,500 in a weekend for Arms of Love, amazing. We're sending tons of kids to camp. We just pray, God, that at camp, man, they would just see you, and maybe for the first time. And I just pray, God, that they just would be changed as they come back. You would just encourage them that you've changed, you've paid it all, and you've changed their lives, and they're not who they used to be. And I just thank you so much for every single person, God, that got baptized, that took that next step with you. Thank you so much for them. We ask, God, to bless their journey with you. I pray that they would just know that you're walking right with them, that you love them so much, that you are there to encourage them and to call them to something greater than they could ever imagine. And last but not least, we pray together for the churches across the valley, Lord. We are different churches, different distinctions, but we're under one name, and that's the name of Jesus. And God, we just pray that you would be glorified this morning in this city, and we pray that our city would just come to know you, and revival would come through this state. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So my question for us is, how can you live approved? I've been tasked with the sermon of the assignment, Living Approved. But my question is, how can you live approved when the voices in your head tell you otherwise? You know, 10 years ago, I was a senior in high school, and I had this amazing privilege where I got to be able to go off campus for lunch, right? And so I remember walking with my buddies like, yo, where are we going to go today? We're going to go to Jack in the Box. We're going to go to Panda. And we got in the car, we're like, you know what? It's Peter Piper Pizza. That buffet, the garlic bread, my goodness, let's go, right? So we get in the car, and we're just excited to get Peter Piper. So we pull out onto the main street, and there's three lanes, and there's the middle lane. So we're in the far right lane, and Peter Piper's about a mile or so ahead and on the left side. So we move over to the middle lane, and there's a car in front of us not going as fast. So my buddy whips into the left lane, but he didn't look. And at the same time, in the worst timing I've ever seen, someone else who also had a very nice car from my same high school, a guy I grew up with, came by at the exact same time, and we pulled, honestly, it was an episode of Cops. We pit maneuvered him into the middle car, and it became the most disastrous wreck I've seen. And so when the cops got there and other people around the situation or heard or was just around, they see nice car, and the assumption is they were street racing. And I get it. My buddy gets charged with street racing, and that wasn't the reality, but that's what it really looked like. And so what we had to do is in Arizona, when you get a misdemeanor for that, you also get to thousands of dollars fine, and then you can go to jail for 6 months. So a lot of things were up against my buddy, and I'm like, dude, of course, like, you're going to fight this, like, man, well, of course, like, I'll be your witness. And so about a year later, I'm in this courtroom, and I get to meet with my buddy's lawyer right before we go. And this lawyer, man, I felt so comfortable with him. Like, he knew what he was doing. He was a genuine guy, and I just trusted the process. And so he just said, hey, Jared, you're going to be cross-examined. You're going to go up into that trial, like, just kind of be ready. And I was like, sure, like, I know my truth. So I end up sitting down, and I don't know if you've ever been to court, but it's so real, it's kind of scary, and it's an exhausting kind of process. And so what's crazy is I know who I am. I have integrity. I know the truth that we weren't racing yet. All these assumptions were coming at us like, oh, you were planning to do this. Oh, you were young. Of course you were racing. You were trying to do harm. And I wonder if that's a very example of what goes on internally in each and every one of our minds. You see, in the counseling world, we call this the inner critic or the inner judge. And I want to welcome you to and introduce you to something that goes along in each and every one of our minds, but it's something we often don't really logically think about. In this courtroom, in our minds, we put ourselves on trial each and every day, and we just absorb all these things that people say, that the enemy says, and what we say against us, and we put ourselves on trial each and every day. But not only that, in this courtroom, we also are the prosecutor. And we'll sit across from ourselves and go, are you kidding me? You're not enough. You think God loves you? Did you see all the things happening to you? It's because it's your fault. You're not lovable. But not only that, we not only put ourselves on trial, we not only prosecute ourselves, we play the role of judge. And we don't have to really think about this. We got our hand high with the gavel, ready to render the verdict guilty. And then we'll play the role of the jury, but there's nothing to debate here. We know we're guilty. We know we're guilty. And so we play this game where how can you live approved when this is the war going inside each and every one of our minds? You know, in John chapter 8, there's this amazing story where this woman is caught in adultery. She's dragged into the temple and placed at Jesus' feet. And they say, hey, the law of Moses said we should stone her for such a sin. What do you say? And Jesus says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. Meaning, oh, if you've never sinned, go ahead, be the judge. And one by one, they drop their stones, right? From the oldest to the youngest. And Jesus goes, where are your accusers? She says, they're not here. He goes, I'm not here to accuse you either. Go and sin no more. And what an amazing picture of Jesus that he didn't come to condemn us like we often do inside, like the enemy does to us. He came to give us life and life abundantly. But it's so crazy. We will believe in Jesus. We will believe he's paid it all, yet we'll walk into that same temple where the stones were dropped, pick them up to stone ourselves. And we'll sit and we'll use even Bible verses against ourselves. We'll say, examine yourselves. Test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. You're a Christian? Remember, you said you got baptized 5 years ago? Well, what were you doing 4 years ago? Remember when you were sleeping around? Remember you were doing this? Are you sure? Do you really think God paid that? And we have all these voices in our head, but they're not just our voices. You see, some of the voices in your head are from every time someone said something to you that made it into your soul. So every time someone said, it was your fault, we add another voice to the court. Every time, remember, think of like past relationships. We just add up, we add up everything people have said to you in relationship. They say, I hate you. And we add it to our court, and we sit and we play this game with ourselves where we feel like God's grace isn't good enough. We feel like his love is not strong enough. We outsin his grace, so we feel like maybe if we can modify our behavior, then Jesus will love us. Maybe if we modify our behavior, then I'll feel okay and accepted. But what if I were to tell you that this is actually not the reality of how we're supposed to live life? What if I were to tell you that Jesus did not come so we could sit and condemn ourselves each and every day inside our own minds? You see, on the scripture here, it says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so how do you live approved? Well, it says the word of God. You need to know the word of God. We need to know who we are in Jesus, that we're loved, that we're clean, that we're pure. We need to know what he says about us, because when this happens, you need to know how to fight it. And it says in Hebrews 4:12, Andrew, if you want to put it on there, it says the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts, or should I say the voices and intentions of the heart. But this is where it gets good. Check with me here. If you can turn in your Bibles or on the U Version app, it said 1 John 2:1. It says this. It says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, and I might add, duh, I do. It's not my prerogative, but it happens. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, here's what you got to understand. Advocate, what does that mean? Well, advocate means in between, but it also means lawyer, which is to say, when you are berating yourself and condemning yourself, if you believe in Jesus, he is your advocate, he is your mediator, he is your defender, and he stands right in front of all the things coming inside, in front of you, coming against you, and he stands in the in-between. He's your lawyer. And what I love so much about my lawyer in that situation is he asks great questions. And so what you got to know is you got to know who you are in Jesus. And when the voices are screaming at you that you're not enough, they're screaming at you that this is who you are, when they're screaming at you, it was your fault. I'm telling you, there's another voice screaming. It's Romans 8:33. Jesus is standing in the center. He says, who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Translation, what charge are you going to bring against my son? What charge are you going to bring against my daughter that I haven't already paid for? Oh, it is finished. Someone got to clap after that. And so my question for us this morning is, what are you doing to you that Jesus is trying to stop? What are you doing to you that Jesus is trying to stop? Because the reality is, yes, sin has separated us from Jesus, but I want to tell you something, that Jesus is not only our advocate, he's not only our lawyer, he's not only, as we sang, our champion, he actually sat in court for us. He actually took the guilty verdict for us so you didn't have to. He fulfilled the law so you didn't have to. He was covered with our sin so you didn't have to. So the reality over each and every one of our lives, you need to know who you are, and it is you are loved by God. If you put your faith in Jesus, you are loved by God. You are a child of his, and you are well-pleasing in his eyes. It says in Colossians 3 that you're hidden in Christ, which is to say when God the Father sees you, he sees you through the lens of his Son. Which means when God says, oh, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased, you get the same benefit. It says the heavens were open to Jesus, but I want to let you know the heavens are open to you. And so Jesus stands in between you and you, you and the accusations coming against you, and he says, stop, I've already paid for it. And when we live in that, we go from the trial to the table. And we sit with Jesus, and Jesus will tell you who he is. He'll tell you who you are, and he'll tell you what he's called you to do. And I'm telling you, he is gentle. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you read the scriptures, I hope you're reading it in that same, I hope when you read Jesus' words that you hear it in that tone of voice, because man, he's gentle. He's full of love. He's full of grace, full of truth. And when you put your faith in Jesus, he declares it is finished. But here's the reality. We live it, it is finished. That is our position. Yet this trial, there's things in our life, we will do it, the enemy will do it, people will do it to try to bring you back into the trial. And that's where you need to know the word of God. You see, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So God is teaching us warfare. What is the warfare for? It is the scripture to fight the lies coming at you. When Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness, what does he say to each accusation? It is written, gives a verse. It is written, gives a verse. It is written. And he gives a verse. So he says, his weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Meaning that, oh wait, that what was spoken against you, that's not how God sees me. Oh, they said that you're dirty. Oh, well, Jesus said already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And so what we need to do, we need to know first and foremost that we are a child of God, that we don't have to ever be in the courtroom again because Jesus sat in court for us. But not only that, when things pull us back, when they pull us back into the trial, you need to use the word of God. It says, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Said the weapons of warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God. They pull down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. My question is, what's going through your mind? What is the voices telling you? Do you line them up with scripture, or do you let them just take control of your life? Furtick says this so well. Stephen Furtick, he says, the voices you choose to listen to determine the future you experience. And that's so true. And so the next time you want to give yourself the charges, you know all the past. And I remember working in a prison, we would have people's records and you got to see everything they do in the past. And I think the same thing, when you have charges to bring against yourself, I think you should give it to Jesus first, because when he opens up your file, kind of with everything you've done, you know all the stuff you did. Remember 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Well, I'm here to tell you this. If you put your faith in Jesus, he goes, oh, that's interesting. It said your sins were red as crimson, but I made it white as snow. Oh, I didn't know that. It said I blotted out your transgressions. Oh, I didn't know that. It said it is finished. The trial's no more. You don't ever have to be in it. It is finished. I hope that takes some burden off your soul. You don't have to live in that space ever again. And I have made a mess of the stage. Got too excited. Can you take some of these? Yeah. So what I'd like to do is we're going to sing the song Reckless Love. And what I love so much about this is there is a line in the song that says, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. And so what I have found is that there's some pain in our lives from the past that really affect our present and our future. But it's not so much the pain that you've gone through, it's the message in your pain. And so I think of so many times when people say you cried yourself to sleep every night and that was the pain, but the message was, God's not, he doesn't even care. But that's when you bring scripture, you said, it is written, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. I think of so many times when you're going through seasons, months, years of like the worst valleys and it feels like God is not with you. And that's when you use the same strategy, you say, no, it is written. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you. It says that even though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. And so my question is, what are you doing to you that Jesus is trying to stop, that he already died for? You don't have to put him back on the cross, man. He already died for it. He took care of it. You got to live that out. But when the lies come at you, what is the message that does not line up with what God says about you? If the message in your life is you are dirty, I'm telling you, Jesus says, no, you are clean. I have made you pure and right, and I have freed you of sin. And so that is what I want us to just think about today as we worship. Can we stand and let's sing this next song?
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.